morning. Let me welcome you to our morning service here on this fifth Sunday in June. I'm going to grab that hymn book. We're going to begin today's service with a song, "To God Be the Glory," number 44, as our song leader comes. Number 44, "To God Be the Glory." So glad to have you here today.
All right, let's stand together as we sing 44, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Hath Done." Hymn number 44. Be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, through every believer, the promise of God. Vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. On the last stanza, great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and greater rejoicing through Jesus the Son. And higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
More things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, begin our service. Father, we want to thank You. We praise You, Lord. The only reason we're here is because of You. Lord, the only reason we're here today to gather together is because You have designed and instituted the church. Lord, that local body of believers that gather together for the cause of Jesus Christ. You've commanded us, Lord, for the gospel. Lord, to encourage one another. We need that, Lord, to worship You, to glorify You, to contend for the faith, to evangelize the lost, Lord, to stand for the things of the Lord, to influence our younger generation of things of Christ. Lord, we're so grateful that there were several young people that we know of. There may have been others. There may have been adults, Lord, that trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, saw that they were sinners, heard the gospel presentation that Jesus Christ loved them and died for them and can forgive their sins and give them a home in heaven. And they believed that and received the gift of salvation as they called upon You. Lord, we're so grateful for that. We thank You for the Christians that came to VBS who were encouraged, the workers that were challenged. And Lord, I pray that we would all look back and see spiritual fruit from Vacation Bible School. Thank You, Lord, that we have a church building where we can have that. Thank You, Lord, that we can have so many wonderful things for families to enjoy. Now, Lord, we come today, Lord, on the Sunday after VBS, and many are weary. And Lord, that's life. Life is weary, and there's hot times and humid times, and Lord, there's physical frailties, and there's things we go through that discourage us, and Lord, problems. But yet, Lord, I'm thankful that we can find refuge in the house of God this morning. Lord, we've come to worship You. I pray that we would sing with voices, Lord, lifted up in joy from a heart of praise. I pray, Lord, we would look to encourage believers after the service to visit, to be friendly, to be kind from the heart of you. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your goodness. May you be glorified in our singing and all we do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Your song leader, tell you to stand or sit.
You may be seated. And we're going to turn over to 460 and then give you a little something before we sing this song. And it's wonderful to knowing the Word of God, that God leads us. And it's not just a factual truth, but it's also something that helps our thinking going forward in decisions that we make, that if in all our ways we acknowledge Him, He will direct our paths. And now there's a challenge with this song. I think anybody who plays the piano is like, oh no, not this one, you know, because we hold out certain things we don't hold out. So follow me as I try to lead you through He Leadeth Me, all right? But probably the phrase we're going to hold out is comfort fraught on that first verse, and then also in the chorus, He leadeth me, He leadeth by His own hand, He leadeth me. Probably hold that one out there as well. So just follow me as we sing along. Verse stanza number one, 460.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O word with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Now our piano player is so good, I even paused in a place where I didn't say, and she still paused with me. But how about we do the second verse, just the man. Second verse, just the man. Here we go.
Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's powers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Ladies on the third verse, everyone on the chorus.
Lord, and when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, in death's bold wave I will not flee, since Thou through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Thank you.
so much, Brittany and Bethany. Trumpet morning. We've got a little comment from little kids. There we go. We're going to take our songbook one more time. And let's turn this time to 401. 401. Let's stand as we sing, "Open My Eyes That I May See." What a wonderful hymn as we prepare for a message from the Word of God. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Third stanza, open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Thank you. You may be seated. Just before the message, we have special music.
I know a fount where to see. There's a wonder-working power in the blood of Calvary. There's a wonder-working power, a wonder-working power in the blood of Calvary.
Slip on out. Wait, turn your Bibles to Haggai chapter 1, where we were last week. Haggai chapter number 1, if you're using a Pew Bible, page 1317. 1317, if you need to use one of the Pew Bibles, 1317 here this morning. I realize some of you, I didn't really mention in Sunday school, may not recognize me. I have not been clean shaven in probably 4.5 years, and this may be the only time ever. A lot of people don't realize this. I never ever had any facial hair, probably in the ministry for 25 years almost. And only thing would be maybe once a year at Christmas, I'd grow a little goatee during Christmas break. But in the Christian schools we were in teaching, men couldn't have really facial hair. And so I never had it. And so I probably never started growing any kind of a full-time till about our last 2 years of ministry at Temple there, and we had a little transition in principal and pastor, and things changed a little bit. And so I think the last time I shaved everything off was 4.5 years ago during COVID. And sorry, this is it, what it is. My daughter's like, "Ah, Dad, don't do it." My kids are like, "Ah." You know, when I first started going to beard, it was the same thing. "Ah, awful." Now, so nothing improves it, all right? But I was doing it just to have some fun. I was goofing around. I've done it before on weeks of camp with teens. I started the VBS with a full head of hair and a full beard, and then I tried to transition every time I did a skit there. Not everybody picked up on it because it was somewhat subtle, all right? I went from that to lamb chops and a goatee, to a goatee, to a Fu Manchu, to a mustache, to a thin mustache, to shaved head, to everything. Not everybody picked up on that, but some did. All right, so it was just to go along a little bit with the skit and be goofy for the week. And so this is what you're stuck with for a little bit, but I think it will grow back. And so there, get that out of the way right now. All right, Haggai chapter number 1. Haggai chapter number 1. We're going to pick up where we did. We're doing a little study through the book of Haggai. We'll take a quick recess on that the next 2 weeks. Next week, we're having more of a patriotic service on July the 7th with our music, decor, and the preaching. And then on the 14th, 2 weeks from now, we have missionary Mark Barella and family will be with us. And so they're going to be giving a report of what God has been doing in Cameroon, Africa, since they have last been here. And so they'll be in the Sunday school hour and Sunday morning. And so we'll not get back to Haggai till probably the third week in July. But we're looking at it today as we looked at it last week, see what the Lord has for us. Title of the message is the same as last week, part 2, Consider Your Ways. If you were not with us last week, then you will have missed a few things, but I will bring you up to speed in this little book of Haggai. Consider Your Ways is the title of the message, part number 2. Let's read. We're going to read the first 7 verses this morning. We read these same verses last week. We're going to look at them again, and this will be the thrust of the message here this morning. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. The Bible reads, Haggai chapter 1, verse 1, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. By the way, that'll be the name of the Lord throughout the little book. The Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now that's interesting. That's the first message from the prophet. God telling the people what their attitude was and their words. Verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying. Now we have God's response.
Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed or comfortable houses? And this house, the temple, lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now that's an interesting message from the Lord. He'll say other things, and we'll be exploring that over the next month or two. But his number one message that he's speaking through the prophet is just three words. Consider your ways. That's the message. You saw it in verse 5. You see it in verse 7. If you want to flip the page, or it might be on the same page there in your Bible, chapter number 2, you'll see in verse 15, 2:15, and now I pray you, consider. Verse 18, consider. Verse 18, the last two words, consider it. Five times in a short little book, the word consider is used by God. Five times. Consider. We're going to be looking at that today. We're going to consider what consider means. All right? What does that mean, and why is that the message from the prophet? Consider your ways. Now, that's a challenge, because here we have a group of people, smaller than the group of people that Haggai was preaching to. And we're humans, and our minds are easily distracted, some perhaps sleeping already, maybe for a good reason. Others distracted, thinking of what's coming up this afternoon, or vacation next week, or maybe thinking of good things. Mine keeps going back to Bible school. Things that happen, messages, God working. That's not wrong. Got to be able to gird up the loins of the mind, though. Got to be able to have them under discipline. The word sober means mental. Sober in the Bible. Be sober is talking about self-discipline with your thinking. I've got to bring it in. I've got to be able to pay attention. What does God have for me? So consider your ways. Let's consider, again, a little backdrop for those that may not have been here or may have forgotten. The Lord's house is referring to the temple. It was not being built at the time of Haggai 1. The Bible says, and God said in verse number 4, his wording is, it lies waste. The wording of the Lord. The house of the Lord is lying waste. Nothing is being done. The foundation is there, but nothing is being built. The will of God is not being accomplished. God's people had started building the house, the foundation. You can go back again and read Ezra. Ezra 1:6 even says that the people gave willingly to help with building it. It said they gave silver and gold and precious goods and animals. Many of the people gave sacrificially and willingly to help. It wasn't that they were cold-hearted. They were eager. No one made them go back. The proclamation was that anybody who wanted to go back, and the very reason was that Cyrus said, God has put in my heart to build the house. That is the will of God, and anybody who would like to go back to accomplish that can go. So we're not talking about cold, hard-hearted people. They went willingly when it would have been a lot easier, more comfortable to stay, which most people did. It's a long journey. They were not going back to good days and good times or good memories. It wasn't going to be easy. Enemies all around, no really ruling government. They didn't have any kind of spiritual structure. The places still looked the same as it did 70 years ago with the walls and the buildings. It would have been difficult. The people went and they gave willingly large amounts of their own goods to help. It wasn't that they didn't want to build it. And they started building it. And we have a record of that in Ezra. And they were excited and they laid the foundation and there was a great feast and they were doing what God said. But Ezra 4 tells us that opposition came, as it always does. Some of the surrounding nations and people weren't thrilled with that and came in. The Bible says that they first tried to join them, very much like the book of Nehemiah. The first time they want to join with you. They want to say, we're with you. Let's do it all together. We serve the same God. No. And then their true colors came out, and it says they began to frustrate them, and they began to weaken their hands, and they began to discourage the people, and they hired people to frustrate them and to see, get the work to cease. And they made threats and lies, and they even sent a letter back with lies, and the decree came back, stop. No more building that official government. The king says stop. Whoa. And they were discouraged, and they were sad, and they were downhearted, and they didn't know what to do, the Bible says. Their joy and excitement died. They became disheartened, and they just went about their daily business. That's the setting. Does that not sound familiar to any of us? Have you never had some things you got excited about? Have you never had spiritual eyes? What's sad is there's some believers that have never, ever experienced the weariness of serving the Lord. There's some that you just can't because of health. But there's some who've never experienced the weariness, the full exhaustion of pouring yourself into others for like a week or so, and you're just, oh my goodness, that weariness. And then you understand the verses of the Bible that talk about be not weary in well-doing. Due season ye shall reap if you faint not. And say, oh wow, it's a struggle, Lord. We're coming off a big, busy week, and it's a good weariness to have. Many of you have prayed several months ago when I challenged you, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Do you remember those messages? That's been a while. Lord, what would thou have me to do? Now, they don't have to come tell me. I've never had anybody come tell me that God told them to do anything. I think one person maybe. I hope everybody prayed it. Maybe he said nothing. Maybe it was private and personal. That's fine. I wonder if anybody prayed that. Lord, what would thou have me to do? Did God answer that prayer? Did he show anybody anything? Did he stir any of your hearts? Maybe it was private. Maybe it was family-oriented. Maybe it was your children. Maybe it was your job. Maybe it was ministry. Maybe it was at this church. Maybe you prayed it and you meant it and you got excited about it. I want to ask you, did God show you anything? And if he did you do it? Are you doing it? Did you stop doing it? Because that's the situation we're in right here. God said, this is what I want. The people knew it. They started doing it. Something happened and they stopped. But God's will doesn't stop. Though you and I might stop. And we might think, well, you know what? I burned out quick on that one. Ooh, I was fired up about that one. I even came forward or raised my hand. And boy, I was, did God change his mind on that? You think he stopped? Lord, what do you want me to do? Have you stopped? Maybe you never started. God doesn't change his mind on those areas. And that's the same thing we're looking at here. God's will was known. They started. Some opposition came in. It stopped. Now, God is patient. God's patient. It's been 15 years. God hasn't beaten over the heads. God didn't eliminate them. God hadn't even sent a prophet yet. Although we're going to go back and see that God had been doing things to get their attention, but they did not even consider it was God. They just blamed it on the weather, politics, their health, never once considering it was God. Let me tell you why all this is happening. It's God! Consider your ways! You have not even considered that it's me! That's how far we can get away where we never even think about this could be the hand of God. No. It's got to be something else. And that's where we pick up the story here as God stirs up a prophet, Haggai. Later another prophet, Zechariah, to go to his people because he loves them. Because he's a God of mercy and of long suffering. And he wants to challenge his people. And he sends Haggai as his messenger. And the message is very simple. It's the same message for us today as God's people. Consider your ways. Now that's hard to do though. Because considering your ways takes some time. Very few of us have time and we don't have time to consider. And then when we do consider, it can make us feel bad. So it's easy to not consider your ways. Or it's easy to consider others' ways, but not my own ways. So now we come, it's been 15 years. Maybe not exactly 15, we don't know for sure. God sends his messenger. consider your ways. This morning, I'd like us to consider that phrase, consider your ways. I want us to examine our lives, my life, your life, our families perhaps. I want us to examine our own ways, our own direction, our own motives. Are you willing to do that? With Scripture as the searchlight, Scripture now. The Scripture is going to be the light we're going to turn on to look like we lose something and we turn on our cell phone light today normally, or a flashlight, or a headlamp, or as many lights as possible to say, all right, where is it? Where did it go? God, turn it on. I'm going to have a word of prayer here. We're going to jump into the message. I would challenge you to pray as David prayed in Psalm 139. Now, I want you to listen. Many of us know this verse, and you're going to start saying it, or you know the song, but I want you to listen to David's prayer. Only, I don't want to say just immature Christians, but non-growing Christians or Christians who have stopped growing say stuff like, I know my heart. Well, that contradicts the Bible. It may be a funny phrase to say, but it's wrong. You don't know your heart and I don't know my heart. I didn't say search your own heart. I said, let's let the Lord do that. David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. He said, you search me and know my heart. You try me and know my thoughts. You see if there be any wicked way in me. Consider your ways. David said, God, I don't even know myself. When I look in the mirror, I have a good opinion of myself. And I think I'm okay and I'm on the right track. And I may be right. But I don't know that, Lord, so you search me. You test me. You put me to the test. You turn up the heat, right? We all know the story of how you get 100% gold or silver. You got to put it to the test of the heat. Turn it up, and what happens? The impurities come to the surface. Where would you and I be without any pressure or persecution? A bunch of spoiled brats. The Father turns up the heat to bring to our life all the impurities that ought not be there, so that you and I can see them and allow Him to scoop them off so that He can make us like Christ. Not that we're better than our neighbors or other people. Oh, God, bring the pressure. Turn it up. I don't even know myself. I think I'm a pretty good guy. I think I'm a pretty faithful Christian. I think I'm a pretty nice fella. But, Lord, I don't even know that. So search me and try me and test me. And, Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, show me and then lead me in the way. There's the two word way, in a way everlasting. That was David's prayer. That's my prayer. Are you willing to pray that right now? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray as we get into this message this morning, God, consider your ways, consider my ways. Lord, I pray every true born-again believer that has a desire to know you and walk with you would be willing and now in the quietness of the hour to say, oh God, right now, search me. God, search me out. God, test me. Prove me. God, check me out completely. Oh God, maybe I am exactly where I need to be, but Lord, you know. Lord, if I've got blind spots, if I have convinced myself by repeating the same lie again and again, oh God, show me. Lord, if I become proud or cold or critical or lazy or immature or carnal or worldly, pompous, arrogant, Lord, show me, reveal it to me. God, if I'm right where I need to be, show me and keep me humble. Lord, would you lead me? Would you lead this church? Would you lead each individual? Lord, if there's someone here today that's not saved, Lord, they need to consider eternity right now. They don't need to get their life squared up and get it right. They need to be saved. That's what salvation is. They need to do that today, not put it off. Oh, Lord, help us to consider our ways today in light of Scripture. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's jump into this. Number one, let's examine the word consider. If you're taking notes, only two simple points. Consider and your ways. What does that mean, consider? Now, hang with me. Some of you, I know it sounds silly. We're going to consider. But consider is very similar to the word meditate, the idea of chewing on something. Not just, tonight at ice cream, not just taking a bite, boom, gone. All right, your parents say, whoa, you didn't even taste that. All right, or I'm just eating quickly. All right, consider means to inspect, to examine, to ponder, to fix the mind on. The idea is very carefully, very steadily, not quickly or rashly. It's amazing sometimes our human nature is we get frustrated with people who take a long time to do things. You know, house inspection, car inspection. Check this out. If they're very thorough, we're like, come on, whoa, don't we not? I'm on that way. Come on, we just want to quicken. Really, you want them just to slap the sticker on the car? You sure? It's good to go. That's what you really want? Okay. You want the parachute inspector just to be like, oh, well, it's good to go. I'm busy today. But a lot of us, that's how we work. That's how we do things, unless it's people doing that to us. You ever notice that? You know, we can be quick and short and do cut work jobs, cut corners. But then if we hire somebody to do it for our place, God says, whoa, that's a hypocrite. Well, you need to consider. You need to inspect deeply and thoroughly you. Not worry about anybody else. So the word consider is to examine, inspect thoroughly, carefully, every inch, every thought, every action, every attitude. And by the way, usually actions always follow attitude. You can trace it back. Your actions come from your attitude. Your attitude comes from your mind. That's why the Bible says, is there any other time it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind? How many Christians have you ever seen transformed? We're not talking about salvation. I'm talking about they're saved, but their lives have been transformed. Not many. We pretty much stay the same, most of us. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because your mind is where you have your attitude, and your actions come from your attitude. So consider right now. Consider. Is your mind on what I'm preaching on? You better consider it. You better consider the word consider. Let me read you some verses in the Bible that talk. Maybe you've never done like a word study and just studying just verses that deal with the word consider here. I got this marked here. Let me read a couple verses. Deuteronomy 8:5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Interesting. God said, consider. Like a father chastens his son, I chasten you. I want you to consider that. Not a quick thought. Not just a quick, boom, let's move on to the next thing. We live in a world where, again, what do you think the word entertainment means? You know, I remember dealing with that once in a Bible. We were studying in Proverbs on philosophy, you know, looking at the word philosophy and humanism and looking at the word, you know, what do we do in the summer? There's nothing wrong with these things. We go to amusement parks, right? Well, now the word muse, M-U-S-E, means what? Muse means to think deeply. You know, the picture of the thinker. I'm going to muse. Now, if you put an ah in front of it, it's the opposite. Amuse. You amuse me. Let's go to an amusement park. You go to amusement park because you don't want to think. You don't want to think. You don't want to have to think about life. You want to just go and have a blast, man, and not think about all the problems. So let's go and do some fun and crazy things that gets my mind off of it. Now, that's not wrong necessarily, depending upon what kind of amusements you're doing. I want to be amused. I want to be entertained. What do you think going television does? You know, you drive at night at dusk down a development, and everybody has their window, you see the blue light glow. All the TV's on. People just sit. That doesn't mean everybody's watching bad things, but you just, I'm done thinking. I've had a rough day. I just want to come in. Well, consider is the very opposite of that. That's why many people today have trouble retaining the words of God, paying attention in services, hanging on the scriptures, memorizing the Bible. Meditating, as God said, to chew on the scriptures. Well, we just don't ever do that. We just, blah, 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 you know, I just want to have to think. And so when God says to think, we just can't do it. The word muse means to consider. God says consider. Deuteronomy 32:29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood thee, that they would consider their latter end. Consider the end. How many times have you said that in different words to children? You know where this is going to take you? Or a good friend. Hey, you know where you're going to end up? They don't consider that. God says, consider it. You better ponder it. You better not do it hastily. 1 Samuel 12:24. Only consider how great things God hath done for you. How often do we sit around considering all the awesome things God has done for us? The Bible says we ought to do that. Psalm 8:3. When I consider thy heavens. We know that verse. David said, when I sit back and I consider. I mean, not a quick glance. Not a quick take a picture of the rainbow. No, when I really pause and consider it, When I consider the sunset, when I consider God's incredible creation, when I really, whoa, David said, it blows my mind. Who am I? God even knows me and cares about me. Now that's deep considering, not just a casual glance. Matthew 5, what did the Lord say? Matthew 6, 28, why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies. That's Christ. Look, why are you worried all the time? Why are you so anxious? Consider how I take care of my creation. They don't even have souls. They're not for eternity. Flowers, birds, and animals. Yet I take care of them. Consider that. How much more does your Heavenly Father? But very few times do we have the time to consider. I'll read one more, Hebrews 12, 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You ever get wearied and faint in your minds? Consider Christ, it says. Oh, I just want to quit, want to give up. Oh, you better consider Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad he didn't give up? Aren't you glad he didn't go weary? He said he went the whole way to the cross. You consider him. I know, but I'm getting too much grief. I don't get any. You consider. The word consider is used often in the Bible. It's a good Bible word. It's a word we need to practice more, and I need to practice more. Inspect. We like to do casual glances. We like to do quick. I'm good. Everything's good. We ask a question. Yep, I'm fine. And that's not considering. If the message from Haggai was consider your ways, then God says, I want you, every individual and as a nation, to sit back and consider your ways. Notice, what am I considering? Your ways, my ways. Now we know in the context, it was this. Why is the house of God not built? That would be the question, God. Why is it not built? And then the people are going to give answers. And the number one answer was, well, it's not time right now. We tried. It's not right now. It's not the time. We already tried. We can't right now. We can't. We're busy. They said stop. No one's. It's too late. And then the Lord came back with, does that only apply to me? Because you have time for everything else. You didn't let a little hardship keep you from building that house and that addition. You saved up the money to do that. You added and bought that property. You're living in very nice, comfortable. Now, does that only apply to me and spiritual things? Consider your ways. You understand? Whoa. Oh, you've got your little answers. They're quick. You tell everybody the same thing. You even tell God that. The Holy Spirit convicts you. You have an answer right back to him. But it's not a valid one. Most of the time, it's quick and easy. You've convinced it's true, but God says, I want you to consider that. Is that really true? That's what your answer is. You've believed it, but I want you to consider your ways, and we're going to find out if that's true or not. And that's the thrust of the book, and that's the thrust of the message. Now, again, we're not Israel. I'm not making any comparisons about America and Israel, the church, and all different entities. And we don't have a temple today, and the house of God is not a building. It's a people. It's a body. But yet, as we've looked at, God is very clear in the New Testament. He's given us some instructions. He's given us his will. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Use your spiritual gift or gifts for his honor and glory. I'm just going to hit those three. There's no denying that those are commands given in the New Testament for his people. And if the Lord says to you, why are you not? What is your answer? You have a reason why you're not faithful to God's house. You have a reason why you don't share the gospel, whether personally or with the church. Do you have a reason why you're just sitting and not using your gift or gifts for the Lord? What would your answer be to God? You probably have an answer. Doesn't mean it's wrong. I'm not God. You don't answer to me. The people didn't answer to Haggai. You and I stand before God. It's between you and God. But if the answer you give if God says, consider your ways, that excuse, you don't use that for other things. Not when it's family vacation or saving money to go on a big trip or your family or a house addition or all the other things. So I want you to consider your ways. Well, you're getting the thrust. I'm sure it was uncomfortable when he preached this. I'm sure it wasn't our normal reaction as sinners is we get upset, we get angry. Almost every one of us will get defensive right away. That's the sin nature. I do it, you do it. That doesn't mean it's right, though. So the idea here is consider your ways. What ways? Your ways, my ways. My actions, my attitudes, my motives in regard to God, His will, His precepts, His commands, His house. Now, I'm going to ask a series of questions. These may not be true of you. They're just questions. But I want you to answer these. I'm going to put them in the first person. If your answer, again, this is between you and the Lord. I have no idea, nor do I need to know your answer. All right? But if this is true of you, what would your answer be to God? And then you must stand and rest on that. Why am I not faithful to God's house when the brethren assemble together? Now, if I, just as a pastor, came up to visit you and just said, you know, I'm just a little concerned. Why are you not that faithful? What would your answer be? No, you don't got to answer me out loud. May have a very good answer, and God may say it's a good answer. But if what would your answer be, though? Why are you not faithful to God's house when the brethren assemble together? Second question. Why do I'm just putting this first person, or you could even answer for your family. Why do I not attend the Sunday school hour of the church in which I'm part of? Not stepping on any toes. If we asked you that, what would your answer be? You might have a very good answer, and God may be happy with it. It may be true. Why do I not attend Sunday evening services with my people, with the brethren? We're not here to say that we understand there are valid reasons. I'm not the one to decide validity or not. God is. Between you and the Lord. What God is getting at here with the people is this. I already know your answer. Is that the real answer? That's what God's getting at. You don't have to tell me your answer. God's saying, okay, I know what I hear it. Is that the real reason? And only God knows your heart. You will know if it's real or not. Is that the real reason why? Why do I not assemble with the brethren on Wednesday nights? Why do I only fellowship with some believers? Why only some? Why do I not use my spiritual gift for the body of Christ? It's clear from the Bible that every believer has been given a spiritual gift at the moment of salvation to be used for God's glory. If you're not using it, why not? What would your reason be? And again, we understand that some may be new believers and have no idea what assembling means. They might say, oh, we just grew up just going to one service. I don't know. We're supposed to. That's nothing wrong with that. You may never have been taught. You may be ignorant. You may need to be growing. You might say, I don't know anything about spiritual gifts. That could be a great answer. Why do I not pray with other believers when the church gathers to pray? Doesn't mean you might have a scared, nervous. Is that the reason? Hey, it's for you, Lord. Is that the reason? Why do I not participate in evangelism with your church family? Why do I not gather with the body of Christ on occasion for work days, ministry days, prayer breakfasts, Bible studies, soul winning? No one expects everybody to be at every one of those. I don't come to every one of those. Nor do I think I have to be at every single one, though, I'm the pastor. But there are some that never come to any of them, ever. As a body of Christ, those are pretty important. Why would I not? What would be the reason? You don't answer to me, you answer to God. Why do I not give tithes and offerings faithfully to the Lord through the local church which I'm part of? I have no idea who gives and who doesn't. I'm just asking some probing questions that I have to ask of myself. Maybe every one of those, you have good answers for the Lord. That's great. That's fine. Consider your ways. All it says is consider your ways. Consider your ways. What's the answers that you gave? You feel bad about them? You've gotten angry? Maybe you got angry through those questions, already sort of riled up. Why are you riled up? What would it be to get riled up about? Are those not valid? Are those not biblical? Nobody said you have to come to every single thing. We understand there's sickness, there's family. We didn't say that, but what is the pattern? What's your answer? Is the answer that you gave, would you give that to God before a holy God who knows everything? Would that stand water with him? Is that the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Or is there a different reason? That's all you have to come up with. That's what consider means. You need to consider your ways. If you give an answer and we say, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard, because your social media shows that you do all this all the time. So that it didn't stop you there. So, oh, just give the truth. It's okay. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. What was the answer the people gave? Haggai 1:2. Apparently the main message that they said was, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now, that doesn't give a lot of information there, but we can probably, by reading Ezra, assume that the people had gotten to the point where they just said, you know, it's just nothing we can do about it. You know, nothing we can do about it. The boss said that I have to. My parents said. Then there could be some validity in all of those. You know, that this is not going to be able to. Is that the reason? Were the people trusting God in any way? Did they have any faith? Had they yielded? God said, this is what I want. Again, we're going to go through the book. It's not by your might and your power you're going to build it anyways. None of it's going to be of you anyways. It's all going to be of me. I'm going to do it all. I'm with you. I'm looking for some people that say, this is what God said, we're going to do it. Not, I went for 3 years and not one person got saved, so we're not doing it anymore. Not, I had some bad experiences, so I stopped. Not, oh well, no, God said, that's what the people had said. Oh well, we tried, it failed, there's nothing we can do, so we're going to put all of our time and attention and effort into us. We're going to sit around and daydreaming about our house and our land and our property and our cars and vehicles and vacation. And not all that is sinful. But we're going to consume our thoughts, and God's not going to be first. Now, we're still going to go through the motions. We're going to go, and I mean, they were still worshiping at the altar. You could go back to Ezra and look. They hadn't forsaken God completely. They weren't all atheists and human. No. They were still doing they were doing the basics, but they were doing just enough, probably to appease their conscience. God stirred up the messenger. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Number two, let's look at that second phrase and we're done. What does it mean, your ways? Well, obviously that's personal, right? Maybe I'm sitting here thinking, and boy, our sin nature, everything I've said, you have been thinking of someone else. The entire time I've asked all those questions, you have been thinking about somebody else besides yourself. Or if they need to be here today. They should be hearing all this. You're not the Holy Spirit. You're also not the pastor. You should be thinking of yourself. Not even your spouse beside you. I hope they're listening. Are the kids? Are the grandkids? Are the kids think of the parents or your siblings? Consider your ways. Your ways. Why do so many of you know why we do? Because we're sinners. We don't want to consider our ways because we're convicted. We want to think of others' ways. That makes us feel better. As long as I'm thinking about the other teenagers or the neighbors or my siblings who aren't in church or people who are, makes me pretty good. But God didn't say that. He said, consider your ways, your ways, your ways. Now, your ways, the word ways here is used all through the Bible. It's especially used in the book of Proverbs. If you'd like to study that out on looking for something to do, and I don't really do many devotions, then start studying some word studies. Start studying the word consider. Go through the Bible. Start studying the word way through Proverbs. And you're going to see that a lot. The word way has the idea of a road, a path, a course of life, a mode of action. Consider your path you're on right now. Consider your way of life. How did you get there? Are you going to stay there? Is that the right place to be? How did you get here and what are you going to do? That's what God's saying. Your way is your path. The direction you're headed right now, the direction your marriage, your home, what are you doing here and how did you get here, God? Now, you might be exactly where God wants you. He didn't say, he just said, consider your ways. Based on the Bible now. Not what do your friends say, not what's culture say, not what do even Christian books say. According to the Bible, I want you to deeply consider and inspect and examine your life, your attitude, your actions, your motives, your answers you give out very quickly, your defensive mechanism that kicks in. I want you to chew on those. Are those biblical? And I want you to consider your ways, your path, your mode of living, your course of life that you're on right now. Let me give you a sampling of that word ways. Many of these verses you'll know. Proverbs 4:26. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Guess what? You're going to go the direction your feet go, aren't they? Right?
Now we can be dumb.
But whatever direction God says, you better ponder the path of your feet because that's where you're headed. Ponder. Consider the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, most of us can quote it. We quote it so fast we miss the truth. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto my own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Can't claim the promise unless in all your ways you acknowledge God. He's first in everything you do. I'll direct your paths. Consider you. 2 Chronicles 7:4. We quote this. We'll be hearing lots of quotes on this July 4th, America, right? If my people, which are called by my name, I'll not quote the whole thing, turn from their wicked ways. Ways. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's written to Christians. A double-minded man. I've got the hand in the world and the hand with the Lord. You're always going to be unstable. I know that's pretty plain and simple. We don't like it, but that's true. God said it. A double-minded man or woman is always unstable in all their ways. In every path they take, you'll never have... You're double-minded. Half of the Lord, half. God doesn't always have... He doesn't have first. This all decision making, it's always unstable. It's always last minute. No security for you, your heart, your soul, your kids, or anybody. Because you've never sold out. God's never first. It's always, and so it's always going to be unstable. You can just study that little phrase, ways, all through the Bible. How many know the little song, which way are you traveling? Anybody? That's it? Oh my. Which way are you traveling? Which way are you traveling? Talk about that. A little kid's song chorus there. Dwight Smith, when he comes for men's retreat, he'll probably play his accordion. All right, and sing that. He's got that on some of his stuff. All right. Which way are you traveling? You ever consider that? Let me ask you right now today. Which way are you traveling? If the path you're on right now today, Sunday, June 30th, is the same path you always stay on, where will you end up? If you never change your path right now, you're exactly the same as you always have been right now. The way you are right here today is the way you are. Where are you going to end up? Where is it leading you? If you keep that attitude, where will it lead you? Where has it already taken you? If you continue those actions, where will it eventually lead? Because the Bible says you better consider the end. That's not that big of a deal. It's not that bad. No, oh. Renewing of the mind, that's wrong thinking. If you continue looking at the things you're looking at, listening to the music you listen to, the actions of friends, if you stay on that path, where are you ending up? Where's your home, your family, and where are your kids? Because that's what God says, consider. You better ponder it. Which way are you really traveling? Where are you going to end up? Where will your marriage go if nothing changes? Where will your children be? How about your attitude, your heart? How about your relationship with God? What about your faithfulness to any church? If you stay the way you are, you think that's going to improve as you get older, or you think it's going to slack off? You think your kids will do better than you one day, or do you think they'll do less than you? Now, we don't like those questions, but God says to ponder that. Are you concerned about some of your children? Do you like the path they're on? Some of you say, no. If they don't change, where are they going to end up? Anything about them frighten you a little bit? Why is it frightening you? You're seeing some things. What are you going to do about it? The Bible says to consider that. I mean, that means to think deeply. We don't like to think deeply. We want to move on to something else, pleasant thoughts. Move on. Let's get out of here. God says, consider it. God says, let's have some silence. How about just you and your thoughts? How about not move on and push it aside? How come you always do that? How about chew on it? Don't spit it out. Chew on it. You know you're in trouble, some of you. You've been that way. If nothing changes, God says. God says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. In Haggai, we'll finish with verse 6. What a powerful verse. God says, let me tell you right now where you're at. I think probably a lot of the people were like, well, look, God, you're being harsh. Look, we left and came back. Be like Christians and say, hey, preacher, we're here. What about all the people that aren't? Where are they at? They need the message. We're here. We put money in the offering. We'll be back tonight. You're getting on the wrong people. God's speaking to his people who he loved. And they had good, valid reasons, worldly reasons that sound great. We tried. They said, stop. What else do you want us to do? God says, you didn't try very hard, though. It ceased, and that's it. You didn't try. You stopped. And you got comfortable with stopping. None of you fought for it. None of you had faith. None of you worked hard. I would have done it. I'm going to do it anyways. That wasn't of me. You got frustrated. They stopped you, and you stopped, and you quit. And you got comfortable with quitting. But God said, that's not where I want you. Consider your ways. And then God says, let me give you some things that you haven't considered. Verse 6. Ye have sown. God says, I want you to go back. It'd be almost like saying, I want to show a slide. And God's going to go back and review the last 15 years. And everybody's been frustrated and wondering, but they haven't considered that it was of God. They just used every other excuse. Well, you know, life's been tough, had some health, and some of those are valid. You know, family, but never did they say, God, it was God. It's God doing this. And so God says, let me tell you about some things that have been happening. Ye have sown much, brought in little. You've spent a lot of time and energy. God says, I've caused you to only bring in a little. That was God? That was me. You never considered that, did you? Oh, I just thought it was the weather, bad year, luck. No. That was me. Ye eat, but you never have enough. Now, we understand what God's talking about here is all physical things, but there's a deeper meaning, isn't it? Spiritual. You know, you're buying bags of seed and you're putting all this effort, but you're barely making it. Does that sum up any Christians today? Spiritually, you're barely making it. Barely making it. Just enough. Notice, you have just enough to make it to the next year, but every year you look back and it's like, that's a lot of Christians. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you've got clothes, but you're not warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Where did it all go? All my time and energy and effort, I'm doing all of this stuff, and it's bringing frustration and temper and impatience why? God says, it's me. Now remember, God's dealing with his people here, his people. We're not talking about lost people today. We're not talking about lost people. We're talking about Christians, God's people. You're redeemed. God said, it was all of me. That doesn't mean every sickness. We understand that. We take Scripture with Scripture. It doesn't mean every trial, every tribulation is of God. It doesn't mean everybody's sinning. But it could be. That's where we don't like to think about it. It could be. We like to take the opposite extreme. Well, that doesn't mean just because, but it could be. You're trying to say every sickness? No, but it could be. Have you considered that? It could be. That's what God is saying here. it could be. How about examining? Don't just say it's on something else. If you're out of the will of God, and you have been for years, and God's your father, and he says, I chasten my children, how do you know it's not his chastening hand? It could be. Before you blame it on just age, it could be age, or it could not be. Or health, it could be, but it could not be. Go back and look in the scriptures. Before we just dismiss it all, God says, you better consider that it may be of me. And that I have brought this on you for a reason. I want you to consider your ways. Because he repeats that again in verse number 7. You haven't considered it's from God. Now maybe right now, physically, you're doing great. Money in the bank, house is good, get to go on vacations, children, grandchildren. God says, I want you to look deeper than that. How about spiritually? Are you advancing spiritually? I mean, could you put some specific things on the last 5 years of how you've grown in the Lord? 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, last year, 6 months of 2024. Can you show me any spiritual advancement? Can you show me any spiritual fruit? Maybe there's no crops. Be like, I come to church. You've sown a lot. I'm doing all this stuff. Why not? Why? God's saying. Why? It could be, it may not be. God says, I want you to consider that. Maybe you've stalled. Maybe you've gone back. Maybe you've given up. Maybe you're going through the motions. Maybe you're just struggling. We know that there are tribulations in life. We understand that. And yet, as I conclude, you know what the Bible says? Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Just that first phrase. When a man's ways please the Lord, that means it is possible for you and our ways to please the Lord. It's possible. When a man's ways please the Lord, God even makes his enemies to be at peace with him. So wait a minute. I'm going to claim that verse. That's Bible right there. That's the Word of God. That can't be changed. It is possible to please God in all my ways. In fact, God says when he's pleased with my ways, he will direct my paths. He will make even my enemies. Doesn't mean we don't have enemies, by the way. All right? He'll make even my enemies be at peace with me. So it is possible for the child of God that all of my ways would please God. Therefore, God tells his children, I want you to consider your ways. And if that's the reason why you gave the answer, why don't you write that on a piece of paper, you put it in your back pocket, and you stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You're not going to be looking at me. You're not answering to me or any counsel from IBC. You and I are each going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And like he said to the seven churches, I know thy works. There's no fooling God. That may fool the preacher, that may fool your friends, that may fool your spouse. God says, I know your works. I want you to be honest with me. I know you, and I made you. Now, if your excuses are just covering up some areas, God says, let's change it and grow. If you're fearful, I just can't talk to people about the Lord. You can. You can. You can get some help, some training. What do you think? These people didn't know how to build a temple. God says, I'm with you. I will do it. I just need you to obey in faith. And then you'll see my power. You don't wait till you have the power. That's not faith. Now, it's interesting how those verses tie together. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to... I guess the question is, do you want to please God or not? Because if I'm going to please him, I've got to do it in faith, relying on him alone. Because let me tell you, if everybody in this room's waiting for you to get to a certain training ground where you're going to be an expert soul winner. It'll never happen. If you think you've got to answer every question, and it'll never happen. God's only looking for willing servants who obey His commands. In faith, with trembling knees and stuttering mouth, but say, God has commissioned me to do this, and I'm doing it. And God says, that pleases me. Now watch what I do. And then when that person receives the Lord, it wasn't you anyways. And you're not going to take any credit for it. He's going to get the glory. And you're going to say like Paul, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When it comes to church and God's house, consider your ways. When it comes to obeying the great commission that He has given this people at this time, in this church age, consider your ways. When it comes to the spiritual gift or gifts that God has given out that are sitting on some shelves gathering dust, other people are being overworked, consider your ways. What are you doing with what God has given us and entrusted to us as His people until He either removes us from the scene or until He comes and removes the entire body of Christ? The message of Haggai is just as relevant today for me and for you and for this church. Consider your ways. Do your ways please the Lord? Will your answers fall to the ground in light of Scripture? Or will they be true answers that God validates with a pleasing eye? Let's pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Never pleasant to be the messenger delivering the message. But that doesn't make the message false. The message is consider your ways. If you're here today and you're not in God's family, the Bible says you are lost. You're not going to be lost, you are lost. You're not in God's family. If you died today, you would go to hell for all of eternity. God says, consider that. Please consider that. Don't put it off or wait till tomorrow or you got to get your life squared away. Now's the day of salvation. Consider that. Would you be willing to trust Christ and come to Him today during this invitation? Second, for the believer, if you're here today and you're a little riled up at me, are you mad at me or are you mad at God? I'm not perfect. I have to ask myself the same questions. I'm fallible. I can be a hypocrite. But are you mad at me or are you mad at God's message? Consider your ways. Are you really mad at yourself because you know that the answers you gave are not biblical? Are you just sort of angry because the Holy Spirit has exposed things that just aren't true? That's not why you don't come. That's not why you don't do that. And the Holy Spirit of God is so patient, so loving. And He says, I want you to consider your ways. During the invitation, as the music begins to play and Shane begins to sing, God spoke to your heart. You need to get some things right with God. You can slip up front here to the altar and just pray. You can kneel right there at your seat. You can sit where you're at with your eyes closed. If you need to get some spiritual help and guidance and counsel, just slip right out of the pew and go to the back. Have a lady with a lady, a man with a man. Take you to a private room. No one will embarrass you. Answer your questions. Pray with you. Encourage you in the Lord. If you have some sin that needs to be confessed, confess it to the Lord. Let Him forgive you. If your answers don't match up with Scripture and God blew those down as faulty and weak and fake, just come to Him and admit it. Say, God, I need some help in this area. I'm wanting to do better. Please, Lord, I'm considering my ways. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's do business with the Lord this morning before we're dismissed. Consider your ways.
Search me, O God.
Have a tender heart with the Lord.
Know my heart.
Is there someone you need to go to today and make things right with God? That's His will.
See if there be some wicked way in me.
Say, God, today I'm going to start.
Cleanse me from every sin and set me.
One final stanza. Is the Holy Spirit convicting you in any area? Don't resist it. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe it's church membership. Whatever it is, say, God, I'm ready to do it.
Where once I burned with shame, grant my desire to magnify thy name.
Amen. Thank you. I invite you to look this way before we're dismissed. Hey, there's nothing better than just starting out fresh. We can't go back and change our past. God already knows it. We don't want to hide behind excuses. Just be honest with God. But we can all say, God, I'll be back tonight. I'll be back Wednesday night. I'm going to go to Crossing Tower. I'm going to talk to Pastor about a ministry. I'm going to go talk to that person God's put on my heart. I put it off for years. I know what God wants me to do. I just need to do it. I need to have some faith and trust the Lord. Hey, Saturday Saturation. Coming up in 3 weeks. We're going to have those once a month throughout the summer and fall. That's just 2 hours out of 1 month where the church family gathers together. We should have 50 or 60 out with children. And we just go up and down Duryea, knocking on doors, going to parks, sharing the gospel, but with a smile, loving people in the Lord, and boom, that's 2 hours once a month. You say, I've never done that. The 20th, you can no longer have to say that. All right. Come on out. Do you have to say anything? You don't have to say anything. You just come right along, be in a group. You can just listen. You can just pray. You can just smile. You can hold the track. You can knock on the door. All right? It's okay. Everybody's got to start somewhere. All right? What a blessing to do it at the body of Christ as a church body. You'll be amazed at what will happen. You'll be amazed at the blessing of God when you're done with that. You'll be amazed that God will open some mouths that you didn't think could open. You'll be amazed that He puts words in your mouth you didn't know where it came from. You'll be amazed that you get some spiritual strength from the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, we're going to be on vacation. You're going to think I'm wicked. No, I'm not. We'll have another one August, all right? And we'll have another one. And you can go out anytime you want. Just come see me. Go out with a friend, a gentleman. If you'd like to go out with me, let me know. Just we'll work your schedule together, all right? You just say, Pastor, I'd like to go out with you once a month. That's great. We'll see if we can combine, get a schedule together, find another gentleman in here. I won't be able to go with every single man, obviously, but we've got plenty of guys in here. You can do it. All right? And that's not the only thing we're talking about, soul winning. That's just one small part. But I appreciate you being here. Thank you again for everybody who worked VBS. It was a blessing tearing down, taking down. People may not even know you helped, but God knows, may we be faithful. Tuesday's Crossing Tower visitation, good opportunity to follow up. And don't forget to be back tonight. I know Eli, you say, well, no, he don't want lots of people here. All right, no, lots of people would be good. All right, he's going to preach and he'll be encouraged by you being here. And we can be a blessing to him with a handshake and encouragement, especially if God uses that message to work in your heart. He'll be like, whoa, I thought that was terrible. All right, and you'll say, no, God had that for me. Bring your favorite ice cream. We'll see you here tonight. Let's go ahead and stand. And when you hear the piano playing, you are dismissed. Lord willing, see you tonight at 6:00.